As Thomas prayed, it was good to see the beautiful day, the sun, to be able to come out. We thank the Lord for that, especially as the rays begin to set. It is beautiful. From the scripture that I gave Thomas to read to have our mind set on the lesson was a scripture of giving thanks. It was requested a little while ago that I do a lesson on offering thanks and being thankful. And I realize it's not that national time of year of Thanksgiving, but it is a daily decision to be thankful. And so we might say it's always that time of year again, every day. But of course, in the course of thinking of that lesson and the concept of Thanksgiving, I did a little research. You know, it was Abraham Lincoln that put that into place. And the country was in turmoil and difficulty in civil war. So you can imagine the many homes that were learning of loved ones that had died in the war and the difficulties. And Abraham Lincoln saw it as perhaps a curse from God for the sins of the nation. But looking at the proclamation, I thought it was quite interesting that even in such dark times, there could be thanks that could be found. And I just want to read, if I can, a portion of this to you before we begin. It says, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed, that we're prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added which are so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, as well of iron and coal, and of other precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than hitheretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield, and the country. Rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel has devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nonetheless remembered mercy. It has seemed fit to me and proper that they should solemnly and reverently and gratefully be acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as the day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." When we see a president or a candidate speak such words ever again in this country, and we wonder why we're in trouble. You know, there are times in our lives where we don't feel like being too thankful, or feel that there are reasons not to be thankful. And yet in a time of great civil tragedy taking place in this nation, Abraham Lincoln pronounced that that would become a holiday for our country. I think he understood that it was characteristic of the evil to be unthankful. Just as Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 35, that God was kind to the evil and unthankful. He put the two together. In Romans chapter 1, and verse 21, as God was describing the decaying world, he said that because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And so we see that ingratitude leads to other sins. It was a catalyst for them. It goes on to say they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man. And then he goes on to say, verse 24, He gave them up to uncleanness, to dishonor their bodies in the lust of their hearts. On and on, you can read through Romans chapter 1 to see what took place. But where thankfulness is found, we find contentment. Without it, we find anxiety and self-centeredness. Unfortunately, I found myself falling into that rabbit hole from time to time. And you have to remember that the solution sometimes to many of our problems can be very simple. Very simply, just changing our attitude to say, "Thank you, God. Thank you." So we'll start off first talking with this concept that we must be a people that are overflowing with thanksgiving. Let's look at the book of Colossians, shall we? Colossians chapter 1. You can see I've taken a little break from the projector. I think this is three lessons in a row. It might be a record for me. But I've enjoyed the little break. Look at this in Colossians 1 verse 3. Paul says in this one little book, he says, "We give thanks to God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Verse 12. "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." In chapter 2, verse 7, Paul says, "Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Chapter 3 and verse 15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful." Verse 17. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Chapter 4 and verse 2. "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." Giving. Now, if one read the book of Colossians, they wouldn't say it was a book devoted to thanks. And yet we see here six or seven times where thanks or thanksgiving was mentioned. In the book, you would talk about the kingdom and the church that was established by the Lord. False philosophy that leads people astray from the Lord. The old law being removed. The new law being established. He would talk about the old man and his deeds in contrast to the new man that we have become. He talks about the home, the husband, the wife, the children, the workmen, and all his friends that helped him along his way. And yet subtly and naturally along the way, he worked in this word of thanks and thanksgiving unto God, because it just permeated who he was. He had an attitude of gratitude. And you'll see there was different things, as we read there, to be thankful for. Christians must be marked by this characteristic of thanksgiving. Just like you see people with different physical characteristics. You go to different parts of the world. If you were to go to China, you're going to see people that look awfully different than us. If you go to Africa, the same as well. They're marked by these different features, characteristics in their body. Well, in a spiritual sense, Christians ought to be marked with this characteristic of thanksgiving. Being thankful is a mark of grace indeed. We are to be thankful in all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is another passage. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 says to pray without ceasing. The next verse, verse 18, says in everything, Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's God's will for you and for me. We have so much to be thankful for. We should always be walking around saying thank you. Appreciate that very much. One might describe it as, you know, having a plate full of gravy that's overflowing. You know, that should be us in our spiritual plate in regards to Thanksgiving. We ought to be training our children to be thankful. You know, naturally, when they get something that's neat, they're impressed by it, they're awed by it, wow, and then they kind of go on their way running with that thing. And you have to say, wait a second. What do you say? Oh, yes. Thank you. In time, they'll get it. God says, as a Christian, though, they ought to get that. They ought to understand that as a Christian. We really get it. We ought to be really overflowing in it. Now, I understand when the Bible says to be thankful in all things and everything, it's not just a blanket statement, right? Where you don't say, I'm thankful for Satan, I'm thankful for sin and murder and abortion. No, not for sinful things. That would be obvious. We're not thankful for tragedies and mass shootings or those kinds of things that take place. We don't say, I thank you that 130 people died in Paris at that shooting that took place a few months ago. But what we can be is thankful for what it may produce for God if it leads lost souls to Him. When there's a cause, there is an effect. And we can be thankful for one or both or at least the effect, hopefully, like I said, if it leads souls to the Lord. Look with me in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Excuse me. And verse 12. Paul writes this epistle from prison. And he says in verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident in the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And so he's saying, everyone knows the reason why I'm here, and it's given me opportunity to teach these people. Notice also verse 14, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Imagine one of us being put in prison for the testimony of our Lord. And that person in prison is saying, don't weep for me. It's okay. Pray for me. I'm going to teach people in here. You do your best to teach them out there. It's going to embolden you. Say, look at what they've given up. Look at what they've done. I need to do my part. So Paul was thankful that he was in this predicament because of what it meant for God. Chains for chain's sake? No, not too great. Not too thankful. But what can be produced by it? Okay, now I can see how I can be thankful for those things and everything, giving thanks. See, no exterior force can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8, verses 35 to 39 makes that very clear. He talks about persecution or famine or distress. And he says, none of it can separate you from the love of Christ that is found in God. It cannot be done. And so then everything can become a blessing then in our lives if we allow it. And while we may not be thankful for the event, the catalyst, but what it produces, maybe we can be, especially if it leads us closer to God. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What are you talking about? The things that you can be thankful about, right? These wonderful blessings. And he says, if you can put that in your mind and dwell on those things, you will do a better job of being anxious for nothing and offering to God your worries and prayer, but do it with thanksgiving. Be reminded of the things that He has done for you and benefited you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul found himself with something in the flesh that he wished he did not have. If it was up to him, he'd go without it. It was a thorn in the flesh, the way he described it. Verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pled with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." Please just remove it. Now this is Paul praying. He's hoping to be in the will of God, that this could be taken away. But it wasn't within the will of God. And so in verse 9 he says, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." So he's saying, you'll be better off spiritually speaking in this predicament. So Paul, recognizing that, says, "Therefore, most gladly..." What's that? He's being thankful. "I'll rather boast of my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure..." That is, I'll find some kind of silver lining in the cloud, right? "I'll take pleasure, I'll be thankful in the infirmities, the reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong." There's been hard times for a number of us lately, and for some, the hardest of all times. The fact is, though, without such events, we may never have found God at all. And by them, He is allowed a lighted pathway to be shown that leads to safety. You know, when a plane finds itself in trouble and it has come to a rest, a stop, if there's smoke in the cabin, they say they've lighted the cabin floor with lights as arrows to point to the exits where you can find safety. So you can get low to that ground, you can see which way you need to go to get out one of the escape hatches. The Bible gives us the pathway to safety and salvation. But sometimes we don't wake up to its message or listen to it until our attention has been arrested by some smoke within the cabin, where we are forced but to look just in that direction at the lighted pathway. The Lord said in John 15:33, "In me you may have peace. Be of good cheer." Be happy, be thankful. "In me you may have peace." So then in Christ, He helps us be what we are not. He helps us to get there, right? He never says, just be happy and just be thankful on your own, right? But He says, you can be happy in me. You can find peace in me. See, thanks infers that we have someone to be thankful to. Therefore, it is attached to someone. It's tethered to someone beyond ourselves. So you can see why God would say, give yourself to thanksgiving. It would constantly pull us out of our circumstances and predicament and tether us to the one that is the great, as Abraham Lincoln said, beneficent Father in the heavens. This is not some mysterious deal. It's just saying God helps us to get to where we should be. Through the tears, through the downfalls, through maybe a loss of business or loss of health or whatever, there can be a silver lining in the cloud. And we can find that in God and God alone. That means we must trust the providence of God. Not always to give what we want, but to give what we need. And then thank Him for seeing our need before we saw it ourselves. I'm going to tell you, that sure beats fear and anxiety and helplessness and despair, which is the other option to distrust. Now, in giving thanks in all things and everything, I don't want to miss the obvious here for the deep. We need to be thankful for all of our blessings, our physical and spiritual ones. And it's a good practice to start a day. What are you thankful for? I heard of one man that deals with a lot of individuals that come to his retreat struggling with these anxieties, and he says, I know there's a lot of terrible stuff in the world, I know there's a lot of bad things going on, but he says, let's begin our day with you telling me what you are thankful for. Just tell me what you are thankful for. That man's a Christian. He's a godly man, a preacher of the gospel as well. He understands what the Bible says about these things. Think about all things. Be thankful for God and His attributes. Be thankful that He's kind and merciful, even to the evil and unthankful. So how much more so to those that are appreciative? Are you thankful for His works, salvation, the church, His Word? Look at Psalm 103. I love how the psalmist starts that psalm. Psalm 103 and verse 1 through 5. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed as the eagles. Isn't that a blessing? Forget not all His benefits. We're thankful for our brethren. You know, sometimes maybe our brethren put us off, or you make us upset, or okay, sure, maybe there's some just cause in that, but can we also think of something I'm thankful about that person for? That might help turn my mind around. Are we thankful for our families, our food, the spiritual growth seen in others, the nearness of God? In Psalm 75, you know, he, like I said this morning, it's not that he's far away, disconnected. In Psalm 75, verse 1, it says, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. Why? For your wondrous works declare that your name is near. Isn't that nice? The psalmist thought it was deserving of great thanks. Yes, even life's joys and sorrows, pleasures and pains, everything, because with God's help, it can be a mechanism to allow our light to shine. Of course, you are familiar with Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28, where it says, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And so, through the difficulty, the light can still shine. And that doesn't mean we'll immediately put into the category of good all that's going on, right? All that we do, yeah, everything's going on just the way we'd like it to be. Our country's going the way we want it to. In the church, we're always going to have peace. We're all going to be able to live 100 years old and everything's going to be well. If that's the case, then their lives are riddled with terrifying things then, isn't it? And yet, we can still come together and gather as we do and sing number 47, right? God is so good. So good to me. See, because we know the ultimate goodness of God is rooted in the fact that He is seeking to mold us and prepare us for an eternal service. And so, we come next to this point. We give then thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says there in Ephesians 5, verse 20. If you'd like to, we can turn there again. Ephesians 5, there, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 17... you read of an individual that did that very thing. And instantly you see the illustration that I described of giving the little child a neat gift or a toy, and they're wowed by it, and they're so overtaken by that they forget to give thanks. Well, here these individuals have been given a great blessing. In Luke 17, there it says in verse 11, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." And he was a Samaritan. Think about it. This man had no self-pride anymore. He could fall before Jesus and in a loud voice. He's not going to hold back. He didn't care what others around him thought about what he was going to do next. And he said, "Thank you. Thank you." So Jesus says in verse 17, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." It's a lesson in thanks and how God connected that, or the Lord connected that to giving glory unto God. And how it was deserved and important. And we need to give thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, that's the key. That really is the key. And let me explain. See, Paul didn't just go to a group of people and say, "You know, there's some things missing in your life. What you need to do is add a little more thanks to your life and take some time to be happy and thankful and pray a little bit and sprinkle in a little bit of meditation and that's all you're missing." No, because that's what all religions say, right? What makes the difference is that if one's a Christian and they can pray this thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they recognize where the blessing actually comes from. Through whom all things flow. In Him all things consist. In John 1, again, all things are made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. See, if it was just a formula like that, and that everyone would be okay, then that would eliminate the need for Jesus Christ to even come to the world. And let me tell you, that's what Satan seeks to do. Is to turn one away from the true God. Hey, you can be thankful. You know, you can say some prayers and meditation, but just do it this direction over here. To this God. Or this thing that gives you comfort and peace. The truth is the whole equation works because God and Christ Jesus. You take them out and it all falls apart. Evidence? Evidence? Look at how this country has become. Look at where it was with this proclamation from Abraham Lincoln, a president. And look at where it is today. Is there any candidate speaking of a beneficent Father, an almighty God who has blessed us, who punishes us for our sins? So what do you see? Is Thanksgiving anything near the Thanksgiving it was back in those days? No, now businesses have found out we should open on that day. It's just a time to be more commercial, right? I'm not saying it's sinful for them to have that business open on the day. I'm just saying that for decades we've seen digression in this nation becoming less and less thankful. And so as a result, it's become less and less like the Bible. And less like Christianity. See that? We are essentially, in Romans 1:21, nor were thankful. And so we became futile in our hearts. And our foolish hearts are darkened. We must understand who we are to be thankful to and by what power we can exercise such thanks. The authority and reign of Jesus Christ in our lives. And He reigns over the whole world. His domain is the whole earth, like we've been studying on Wednesday nights there in Ezekiel. Whether the world understands it or not, all the earth and the fullness is His. And that is what gives thanks and prayer its power for the Christian. See, that separates us from natural thanks and Christian thanks. Right? This world understands natural thanks. You hear people all the time say, I'm thankful for the sunny day. I'm thankful that our economy is doing okay. I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful for, you know, having a family at home. And you see, this transcends just those things and understands that God is the giver of the gift. We don't just thank the gift, we thank the one who gave the gift. And that's what the Christian does. Look there in James chapter 1 and verse 17. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Where does it come from, those good gifts? From above, from the Father of lights. See, natural thanks starts with a gift. Christian gratitude starts with the giver of the gift, with God Himself. Who God is, our beneficent Father, the Almighty God. And so I hope that this lesson's been helpful for us to be reminded of how important it is to be thankful to God and to thankful to, about others and to others that have been a blessing to us. You can never go wrong by offering the extra mile in regard to thanks, can you? It'll only be a benefit to that person, but it'll be a benefit to you as well. I think about how Psalm 50 verse 14 says to offer to God thanksgiving. And God, who made the human mind and body, do you realize He also knew what would give it a great comfort as well? There was one of you that shared a book with me recently, and it said in that book, a grateful heart protects you from negative thinking. And that's true. It's amazing how God invented a technique that honors Him and at the same time blesses us. Being thankful makes us content. Being thankful gives us peace. Being thankful reminds us that we're blessed. Being thankful makes us happy. Just looking at the sun before I walked in, I said, thank you, God, for that. Letting the sun come out. Thank you, God. And so all of a sudden started to feel happy. It has a way of working that way. It makes us appreciative. Being thankful also makes us aware of the misfortune of others, so that we're also sensitive and helpful and kind in their time of need, just as we'd want for us as well. The golden rule, right? Maybe we don't know this kind of content and peace because we've never really known true thanks. We don't know thanks in Christ Jesus our Lord because maybe we're not Christians. We've never had the forgiveness of sins, which is the most important thing that you and I can be thankful for. When you think about it, that's really what it is. Because if you have that, then you have it all in the end. Because then you're on the journey to the right place with the right eternal outcome. And so, won't you then come to Him in obedience to the gospel, becoming a Christian, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, being saved by Him, and then won't you thank Him? Before we sing the invitation song, I think it would be appropriate for us to bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what can we do but lift our minds and hearts before You and say thank You? To know, dear Father, that You are the Almighty God that rules over the universe, and that You desire us, dear Father, to know You and to understand You, and to recognize that through You and Your Son we can be saved. We realize, dear Father, that we have many external blessings in life, and we appreciate You for every one of them. We know, dear Father, that we have many spiritual blessings in life, and again, we appreciate and thank You for every one of them as well. We pray, dear Father, that we might be ever more thankful in our walk with You. To recognize, dear Father, that it could be the solution to many of our problems by focusing more on the blessings and the benefits we've had in You and less upon how Satan still seeks to steal our joy. We pray, dear Father, that even though the nation might be going a direction that is opposite from its beginnings, that we would still be thankful to live here in this country and to utilize these blessings for Your glory with the time that You give this country left. We pray, dear Father, for our children that will be raised here. First, we thank You for them and their health. And next, dear Father, we thank You that we've been given the chance to know them and that You'll allow us to raise them to know the truth and to be saved by it when they are of an accountable age. Dear Father, we are last of all thankful for Your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all blessings flow. We understand, dear Father, that salvation came through His holy name. And we know, dear Father, that without Him we are nothing and will be nothing. But with Him, we can be something to You. A soul, dear Father, that has a chance to reign in eternity. And so we pray, dear Father, that we would lift our heads in great thanks and recognition that all of these things come from You. And we bless You for it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's any that need to respond to the gospel, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by.